Amen. Praise God. How's everybody doing this morning? Doing well? Praise God. God's good all the time. Amen. How many was at last week's meetings with Annie Durant? Wasn't that awesome? Spirit of God moved. God showed up. People were healed. People were saved. People were filled with the Spirit of God. That's what coming to church is all about. And then when we receive, we need to go out there and share it with other people. Amen? We're just not supposed to keep it in these four walls. Jesus said, go. Right before he left, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He never said stop. He said go. Just like a race, when the gun goes off and says go, you best be going or you're going to be behind. Ain't that right, coach? That's right. That's right. You better be going. So let's go. Are you ready for God to use you? Amen. He'll use every one of you. God's got a plan for each and every one of us in here. Each and every one of us, he's got a plan for you to pursue. When Pastor comes back, Terry's going to preach next week for Mother's Day. Pastor's going to, like Nathan said, going to be ministering on the identity of who you are in Christ. Very important. Bring your pens, bring your notebooks, take some notes, because these are important times right now. We're on the end times. Very important to know who you are in Christ. What's yours? Very important. Very, very important that you know who you are in Christ. Because the enemy is going to come at you. People that got prayed for and in the healing lines and that were healed, don't think that the enemy is not going to come and try to steal that from you. But guess what? You have the name of Jesus. When those symptoms start coming back, you say, oh, no, I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. I had hands laid on me, and I am not taking it back. Amen? Stand up, because you have authority in Jesus' name. Amen? Praise God. Well, today we're going to be ministering today on righteousness. A little bit about who you are in Christ. But as I always do, and I've told you, I always will. I'm going to start out with the gospel. I want everybody to say it along with me. I know you know these verses. John 3:16 and 17. Say them along with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's not mad at you. He's not here to condemn you. Even the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, what did Jesus tell her? Where's your accusers? He didn't condemn her. Now, he didn't condone the sin that she was in. After he said, I condemn thee not. What did he say afterward? He says, go and sin no more. Don't do what you're doing. Okay? Everybody all right? God loves you. He died for you. If somebody dies for you, that shows pretty much he loves you, think? You think of a guy you're out in the middle of the street walking and here comes a car, 80 mile an hour, and a guy pushes you out of the way and takes the brunt and dies for you. Guess what? That guy loves you. Pretty simple, isn't it? Praise God. Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Talking about Adam here. We're going to the book of the beginnings. Verse 16 says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, verse 17, thou shalt not eat of it, For in the day that thou eatest of that thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know, God gave him a choice. He put something in the garden. He gave him a choice. And Adam chose to sin. And when he sinned, he separated himself from God. He lost fellowship with God. Sometimes in our lives, we're born again, serving God. We might do the same thing. We might sin. We might do something that we knew was wrong. But guess what? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful. He's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God. Amen. The meaning of righteousness, pastors said this many times if you've been coming to church here very long. The meaning of righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of fear, inferiority, condemnation, or guilt. That's what righteousness is. Right standing with God. When you got born again, God put his nature inside of you. That's good news. His nature is on the inside of you. He just didn't take some sin and just cover it up and just make you look pretty good. No. He took out the sin nature and put his nature on the inside of you. So whenever the word says you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you, you can because of his spirit's on the inside of you. But you've got to yield yourself to that. Amen? You can't be walking around doing whatever you want to do. You've got to yield yourself to God. That last song, set a fire down in my soul. That should be our prayer every day. That's something we should be singing and praising God throughout the week. You know, when we come to church here every week, we come and hear the word, we sing the songs, but there's 6 other days that we're out in the world. What are we going to do? It's our choice. God gives us a choice. He gave Adam a choice. What are we doing those 6 days? Are we hiding our light? Are we putting our light under the bushel? Remember when we were a little kid, we sung that song? You remember that song? Hide it under the bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. You're going to let it shine all week. Monday through Saturday. Well, I was at church Saturday night. We had a good group here last night. I was very pleased with the group last night. I told them, you're here on a Saturday night. You could have been home watching the Cubs and the Yankees, but they weren't. They were here. Thank God they weren't. The Cubs got beat. But they were here on a Saturday night. They could have been doing a lot of other things. They could have been out bowling, or they could have been out doing something else. They're here at church. But you're here on a Sunday morning. I'm thankful that you're here today. Come to hear the word of God and grow, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to grow. Hear the word and grow, and then take it out to the world, like Jesus said to do. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach that gospel. Amen? Praise God. Let's go on. We're going to go into stay in Genesis here. Chapter 3, verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself. This is Adam talking to God after he had sinned. He was afraid because fellowship was broken. You remember when you're a kid and you did something wrong at home? And you knew mom and dad not going to be happy. Not going to be happy. And you're thinking, oh, we're hiding, just like Adam was, you know, hiding. I remember when I was about, I don't know how old it was, 6, 7, 8. And I set the lawn on fire one time. And back in the 70s, in summertime, it'd get hot. And the grass, you wouldn't have to mow the lawn late July and early August. The yard was just brown. I was out playing with matches. I thought it was fascinating watching those. Remember those long matches that were like sticks, and you strike them, and you go, whew. You know, that's cool. Well, then I let them burn until, whoa, and I had to drop them, and then it caught the lawn on fire. And then another time I was down in the basement, and I took paper towels down the basement, and I lit those on fire until it got down, whoa, oh, and then I burnt the carpet, like a big spot. So I'm thinking, oh, no, now I'm in big trouble. So I said, what do I do? What a 7 or 8 year old does? I pushed the couch over, and I hit it. Just like Adam, hiding. I hit it. Thought I got away with it about 2 months. I didn't find it. Well, guess what? Mom and Dad were going to change the furniture around. They moved the couch over here. They moved the lamp over there. And I hear, I'm upstairs. I hear, Sean Robert! And I'm like, when I hear my middle name, I know I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. So I'm thinking to myself, what did I do? I go downstairs and, oh, there it is. Your sin will find you out. And it did. Yeah. Fellowship was broken that day. I didn't go up to Dad and say, can I go off for ice cream? Nope, I didn't. I was in big trouble. And I did get in trouble. Got my butt whooped. But I'm still here. I'm still alive. You live and you learn. Amen? Yeah. Fellowship was broken, but guess what? I was forgiven. Never did it again. Never played with matches again. I didn't learn the first time, but I did learn the second time. Amen. Sometimes it takes us 2 or 3 times to learn our lessons. Let's learn it on the first time. Amen. Praise God. That's right. Let's continue on here. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You know, ministers over the years, maybe it was a church you might have grew up in, they communicated and ministered and told you of what a dirty scoundrel you were, or that you are. And you have like a sin consciousness in you, thinking all they preached was sin, sin, sin. You're a sinner, 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 you're definitely a sinner. You know what I mean? Which we need to preach about sin. But guess what? There's more to the Word of God than sin. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen? We've had this sin consciousness, which we need to get into a righteousness consciousness. Because once you get born again, your nature is no longer sin. Your nature, you have the nature of God in you. The nature of God has no sin. Now, am I saying you're going to be perfect, you're never going to sin? I didn't say that. I said your nature is no longer to sin. Your nature's changed. So if you're saying all the time, I'm a sinner, and you're born again, you're contrary to the Word of God. You're speaking contrary to the Word of God. Maybe I would call it your Bible cussing. I don't cuss, and I hope you guys don't either, but guess what? That's contrary to what the Word says. The Word doesn't say you're a sinner. It says you're a saint. Why? Because you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And since you've done that, your nature has changed. It's changed. We'll see later in the sermon here that you're no longer You no longer have that sin nature in you. You've changed teams. Can you imagine if you were on the Bad News Bears, right? And all of a sudden, you got Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo. Name some more for me, Aaron. Huh? Contreras, Schwarber, all these guys like this, Addison Russell. Guess what? You're not going to be the Bad News Bears no more. You're going to be world champions. Same thing. You were on the devil's team, the loser, and you received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Guess what? You're world champions now because Jesus is the winner. The devil's a loser. He's on the losing team. It's already said in the end of the book, he loses. I've already read it. Can you say that? Devil's a loser. Devil's a loser. He's got it stamped right on his head. Loser! That's the devil. So if you're here and you're not born again, you're on the losing team. You need to get over on the good team. You need to come over to Jesus. He's the winner. He's the winner. Or maybe you're on the winning team and you kind of straddle on the fence. Well, I want to be a winner or a loser. That's an easy choice. God says, back in the Old Testament, he said, you have a choice. Life and death. Which one do you want? He said it for you. Choose life. It wasn't a hard test. I set before you blessing and curse. Life and death. Which one are you going to choose? Choose life. Choose the winning team. Fly the W. The winning team. Jesus. He's the winner. You're a winner. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a winner. Amen? Praise God. Woo! God's good all the time. Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, it's hard to come boldly into the throne of God when you've been disobeying God. But when you get things right, you can come boldly right into his throne room. And you can call him Daddy. Amen? As believers, we need to deepen our understanding of the revelation that God has imparted unto us his own righteousness. He's imparted into you the righteousness of God. Right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. You don't have to have that sense of guilt, inferiority, condemnation any longer, because Jesus paid it all. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2. Man had a great need, and God is the need maker. He's going to meet every need. Amen? Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. The Apostle Paul here is talking about their former life. He's talking to Christians about what they used to be like. They were children, their nature was the children of wrath. Ephesians 2:12 says that at the time you were without Christ, you were aliens, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. BC, before Christ, you had no hope. In Christ, you have hope. You wonder why the world, you see all the turmoil and the chaos going on? They have no hope. until they receive Jesus Christ. We need to share the hope with them. We need to be out sharing the hope. Let them see your life by the way you treat people, the way you act, the way you love people. And then you can communicate to them the gospel. There's two ways, actions and speaking. Amen? Praise God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Now we know that man was under the dominion of darkness before he was born again. We were under the dominion of the enemy before we were born again. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated unto us the kingdom of God of his dear Son." Verse 14 says, "In whom we have redemption through what? Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Praise God that we've been delivered from the power of darkness. You were in darkness before you were born again. And when you received Christ, you got translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, into the light. When it's dark in this room and you flip the light on, guess what? Darkness is gone. It's out of here. No longer here. Same thing in your life. You're in darkness. Your blind, eyes are blinded to the truth. When you receive Christ and you accept him into your life, the light comes on. Things will be clear. You'll see things that you didn't see before. Amen? Praise God. That verse 14, in whom we have redemption. We've been redeemed, bought back by his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You remember that song we grew up? I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I can't sing as good as Pastor, but I try. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Woo! That make you want to shout. Think about that. You've been redeemed. Bought back. Redemption. You've been redeemed from sin. Sickness and disease. Annie Durant last week. So precious how she ministers healing by the Spirit of God. Very humble woman. I'm not going to say the person's name, but I saw her pray for a young man right here and lay her hands on this young man's chest and just speak the word in the name of Jesus. That name drives out sickness. That name drives out sin. Disease. And she just laid her hands on him and just spoke that name. And you could just see his countenance completely change. Amen. Praise God. And God will do that for you. You reach out and receive it. Like we're singing these songs. If you sometimes get here a little bit late, start getting here a little bit earlier. And for praise and worship, some people just come sometimes, not a lot of people, but some people come just to hear the sermon. That's great, you hear the sermon, but guess what? Praise and worship is what starts things out. You know, like when you're going to build a fire, and you got wood, you're not going to strike the wood, the match, and put it just on the wood. What do you need? Kindling. You got to put the little stuff down. Maybe get a little piece of paper or something like I used to do, you know, and start that baby on fire there and stick it under there. See, I was preparing for other things. But you get that fire going. You get that fire going. That's what praise and worship does. It gets things stirring up. It gets the fire going. And then pastor comes in here and throws gasoline on it, and boom, there we go. Praise and worship prepares the way. And the Spirit of God is here, ready to heal you right during praise and worship. You can receive healing during praise and worship. No doubt about it. Just reach out, lift your hands, and tell God what you need, and just start singing the songs, and watch. Just sense that, feel that presence of God just fall on you. Yeah. It can happen, and it will happen if you'll be ready to receive it. God's not a respecter of persons. He's here for you. Amen? Praise God. Now, man, before the fall, back in Genesis 1:27, God created Adam in his image. And we see here. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God created us in his image. Our spirits coincide with God's image. He created us in his image. Isn't that good news? That's good news. That God created you in his image. Every one of you are created in God's image. And God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make mistakes. You might say, oh, I'm just a nobody. God don't make nobodies. God makes somebodies. You're all somebody. You might think, oh, I'm down here and some people are up here. Nope, God created you in his image. He loves you just where you're at. Just where you're at. Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God created Adam of the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. Amen. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank God, Jesus bore our sin. He carried our sorrows. He became sin. The perfect spotted Lamb of God that had never sinned, God made him sin. So then we wouldn't have to deal with that. Stripes were put on his back. Sickness and disease. Every disease you could name in the whole entire universe, from a cold to cancer to whatever you want to call it, was laid on him. So we don't have to have it in our life. It's up to us to stand up and say, in that name, the name of Jesus, it has no place and it has no right in our body. If you're a child of God and something's been coming on you, sickness, disease, or whatever, stand up. Get the word of God in you. Speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, and you'll see changes start happening in your life, whether it's physical or whatever it is. Speak that word. Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was, the stripes on his back were for our healing. Thank God that he bore it so we wouldn't have to. 53:12 says, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that he bore it. He wore it for us so we wouldn't have to. Amen? Praise God. Thank God that he did it. He was our substitute. He was our substitute. The only way we were going to get free is by him going to the cross. Thank God he did. Amen? Praise God. Galatians 2:20. We have been crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus gave his life. We've just celebrated Easter. When Jesus died on the cross, before he went to Calvary, he says to God, if there's any other way, but not my will, but your will be done. And he gave himself. He knew what he was going to go through, but he did it anyway. He gave his life for us. Amen? Praise God. Ephesians 2, verses 5 through 6 says, even when we were dead in sins, and that's what we were spiritually dead before we'd had Christ, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now that word quickened means made alive. We were made alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Not anything we did. We just received the gift. When somebody's going to give you something and they reach out and going to hand it to you, if you do this, guess what? You're not going to receive it. You have to reach out and take it. The free gift. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are we ruling and reigning in life? He made us to sit together in heavenly places. This isn't after we go home and be in heaven. He's talking about the nasty now and now. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're almost done here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God. Before you're in Christ, you were lost without hope. But look what happened in verse 17. You become a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him, God made Jesus, sin for us, who knew no sin, that we what? That we would be made the righteousness of God in Christ. He died. He took our place. God made him sin so we could be free. So we could be made righteous and have right standing with God.
Can you hear me? Ooh, there it is.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise God that Jesus took our place. That's good news.
That's great news. Now it's up to you. You want to be on the winning team or the losing team? I want to be on the winning team. You know me. If you watch me play softball, I don't like to lose. I don't like to lose. I like to win. No, I have fun, but guess what? It's more fun to win. More fun to win than lose. When you lose 10 to nothing, guess what? That's not a good day. You know, talk about fighting the good fight of faith. If you lose 10 nothing, that ain't no fun. Amen. Praise God. You can be on the winning team. You might say, Sean, how can I do that? John 3:3 says that you must be born again. You must receive Christ into your heart. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll become a new creature. You'll become the righteousness of God in Christ. All those things. A brand new start. Or maybe you're somebody that you've been serving God and you're like taking a walk. Took a wrong turn. Doing some things you maybe shouldn't be doing. Guess what? God's merciful. He loves you. Just like the prodigal son, he's waiting for you to come home. He's looking out that front door, looking for you. There they come. Sending laborers across your path to speak to you and to help you. He'll do that because he loves you. Amen? Praise God. Let's borrow.